Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for him.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you playing Russian roulette? You are if you're on Facebook. This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday. Going to hit the streets with Trish. Did you see the statistic? This isn't a new one, but for some reason it's circulating again. Over 80% of U.S. divorce attorneys say that they've seen a rise in the number of cases using social networking. That would be according to the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. Affairs happen with lightning speed on Facebook. Statistics says one out of three divorces has the word Facebook somewhere inside of the papers. Are you on Facebook? Does that mean you're going to get a divorce? No, but it sure means we need to be wise about stuff, doesn't it? Make sure that you are using Facebook and Facebook is not using you. Let's get to the streets. Hey, Trish.
I'm at a community college today, and right when I walked on the campus, I saw this young man. He was pretty much the very first person that I saw, and he was sitting on a cement table, and he had all these books and papers sprawled out. And, you know, he looked like he had time, so I walked up to him and explained to him what we were doing, and without hesitation, he said, absolutely, I'll do it. I said, well, are you any certain religion? His name's Zabi, and he said, I'm Muslim. I said, really? And so I went to shake his hand, and he goes, oh, no, we don't shake ladies' hands. And I go, so you really are a practicing Muslim? And he goes, well, yes. And I bow down to Mecca and pray. I do my 5 times a day, his prayer. So he's very devoted. He's going to school here because his parents want him to be a doctor. But he really wants to go to school in another country to actually study Islam. So he's very devoted. He's actually writing a book right now. And guess what it's called? It's called Islam Exposed. And I go, why? What do you mean exposed? He goes, well, it's a catchy title, but it's really about Islam and an introduction to Islam.
He's so tricking
for Islam. Yeah. So he has it right in front of him, too. He even showed us the front page where it says Islam Exposed. So his name is Zabi.
Alrighty. I've got a book coming out, Islam's Best Kept Secret.
Your sins aren't forgiven.
Yeah.
All right, Trish, let's give it a go, shall we?
Okay, here we are.
All right, Zabi, this is Zabi. Have fun, Ray.
Hello.
Zabi, how you doing?
Doing great, man. How are you?
Very good. So what are you doing in the U.S.?
In the U.S.? I don't know. I live here.
You like it? You like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's very nice. Texas is a great place.
Oh, that's great. So you're a Muslim?
I'm born in Pakistan. I'm a Muslim, yes. I'm a Muslim.
So what do I get out of Islam? If I'm a non-Muslim and I say to you, Zabi, what do I get by becoming a Muslim? Could you summarize it for me?
I think the basic belief of Islam is the oneness of God, and that this oneness of God carries over to people, that meaning one God, one people, and that Islam really, really emphasizes on unity, and it emphasizes on family and structure, and it emphasizes on moral behavior and ethics and codes.
Well, like, if I'm a good person and I'm doing fine, my family's good, what do I get out of Islam? Why should I become a Muslim?
Because I think Islam, it creates a balance in everybody's life. And by saying, what do I get out of a Muslim, is that it creates this balance in your life. It gives you motivation to live. And it gives you something to look forward to.
Well, if I said to you, I've got lots to look forward to, I'm very balanced, I don't really need anything to hold me up, what would Islam do for me?
It creates a structure and a code and rules to live by.
I've got that. I'm a very moral person.
Maybe you've got it, but your kids probably don't then.
Yep, they're very moral kids. They're fine. They don't need anything. They're very self-sufficient.
If your kids were modeled and you were modeled, you would be living by some type of ethic or rules or codes. And most of the time when you see the vast religions, they all have different ethics, different codes, different rules, and this creates more separation between people and more sex.
So I could get the same thing out of becoming a Jehovah's Witness. They tell me exactly the same thing. So what have you got that Jehovah's Witnesses haven't got?
I think honestly, it's the unity and the uniformity of the religion. And it comes from the 5 basic pillars, because the 5 pillars in Islam are the same pillars for every single Muslim.
So
not every single Christian believes in every single belief. Some say that abortion is okay. Some believe that homosexuality. In Islam, there's no difference in opinion in these matters. they're more clear and cut, and there's five defining principles. I guess I might explain them.
Zabi?
Yes.
Time. We were short on time, so I got to cut to the chase. Are you going to go to heaven?
I have no idea. That's not in my hands.
So it's in God's hands?
This is in God's hands.
Is there a possibility you could end up in hell?
Yes.
Okay, now, are you familiar with law, civil law? Do you understand it?
Civil law, no.
Well, let me give you a simple scenario and just get your thoughts on it. If I'm standing in front of a judge and I'm guilty of heinous crimes with a $2 million fine, and I say to the judge, "Judge, I'm really sorry, I know I'm guilty, and I'm not going to commit this crime again. I'm sorry, won't do it again, Judge." Will the judge let me off the $2 million fine just because I'm sorry and won't do it again?
Quite possible. It depends. It depends on the circumstances surrounding that person.
Okay.
Maybe if he's insane, if he did it.
I'm not insane. I said I'm sorry, I won't do it again, Judge. $2 million fine. A good judge won't let me go. He's got to uphold justice. That makes sense?
Yes, okay. It makes absolute sense.
A good judge must uphold justice and must see that justice is done. He won't let me go just because I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Zabi, do you think you're a good person?
I have no idea.
Well, let's find out. I'll ask you some of the Ten Commandments and see if you've kept them. How many lies have you told in your life?
I'm not even married.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Lies? Quite a bit.
Okay, so you've told quite a few lies.
Yes.
Okay, what do you call someone who tells lies?
I wouldn't call him anything.
Yeah. Well, it rhymes
with... Just look at him in my heart. If I knew someone would lie, I would not talk to him too much.
Zabi? If yes. I lied, I'd be a liar. Isn't that right? That's
yes.
The correct term. Have you ever stolen anything in your life?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Not a thing, even if it's small. God's your witness. Irrespective of its value, something belongs to somebody else.
No, not okay. From my memory.
Oh, so you could have forgotten that you stole something?
If I was young, but our deeds, Muslims believe that good deeds and bad deeds aren't lived until after puberty.
Oh,
after
really?
After the age of maturity.
So if I'm 11, I can rob a bank and it's not counted?
Well, if you're a little kid and if you're robbing a bank, there must be something else to it.
Okay. Zabi, have you ever used God's name in vain even once in your life?
Yes, I have said, but I say, oh my gosh, but it implies the same thing.
It's blasphemy when you use God's name in vain. Zabi, the prophet Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust for her, that is, desire her sexually, has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Well, I can't admit all my sins on a radio show. Muslims aren't supposed to admit.
No, you don't have to admit all your sins. You just have to say yes or no. That's fine. Are you human? Have you looked at a woman with lust?
I have looked at a woman with I've seen attractive, yes.
Okay, so you committed adultery in your heart and God's eyes. So listen to this, Zabi. You're not a good person. You're like me. You're like the rest of us. You're a self-admitted liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. If he judges you by the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I would have no idea.
Well, you'd be guilty. You're a liar and a blasphemer and an adulterer at heart. There's no question. Isn't that right?
No, because all you did was take an account of every single negative thing I did, but you never took whatever positive I did in this life.
Okay, well, let's take your positive and we'll go back to a court of law. If you've committed rape and murder...
The thing which you're thinking is incorrect, because saying that a court of law... The thing that's the variable that's missing from the court of law is mercy. A judge does not have to be merciful in order to uphold the court of law. God is merciful because a judge represents the entire community.
I absolutely agree with you.
Zabi, criminals don't commit the same crime.
I agree with you, but let me make my point and then you can get back to me, okay?
Uh-huh.
If I say, Judge, I raped that woman, then I cut her throat. I'm guilty. But, Judge, I do good things for people. I gave money to the Red Cross, I gave to Katrina. And I'm basically a good person. The judges say, what are you saying? Your good deeds don't wash away your crimes? How could they? And exactly the same applies with God. Doesn't matter what we do, if we're guilty of being a liar and a blasphemer and an adulterer at heart, doesn't matter what goods we do, it cannot wash away our sins. It cannot justify us. It's a deception to believe that. So you'd be guilty on the day of judgment of violating God's law. So would you...
I understandably so, no single person, our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, so no single person will be admitted to heaven just based off his good deeds.
Okay, so time is going.
That he will be admitted.
Time is flying, Zabi, so just listen for a moment. So
yes.
What will you say to God to justify yourself? How can you make yourself right with God? You're going to be guilty and end up in hell if he judges you according to the Ten Commandments.
We're not really adjusted to the Ten Commandments, but if God was to judge me, then he would look at my good deeds and my bad deeds.
No,
and then all
good
my
deeds don't wash away sin. They cannot. Cannot
they
wash
can.
No, God will not be bribed. How can you bribe the judge of the universe?
It's God, not being bribed.
Well, you're offering God something for your transgressions. You're saying, I broke the law. Here, judge, these are my good deeds. I give money to poor people. I help people across the road. It's bribery. And the Bible says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination of the Lord. How can you justify yourself? What can you say to avoid the damnation of hell?
Well, I don't believe in the Bible, but that's an irrelevant question, because on the day of judgment, if all my good deeds and all my bad deeds are shown apart, no single person's good deeds will ever overcome his bad deeds. But God always tells us this is where God's mercy comes in, is where he multiplies our deeds, which will expiate our bad deeds.
Nope, can't happen. There has to be another way for you to be forgiven.
We're going on two different roads.
I'll see
you on the other side, Dan, because if you're saying that, if you're not counting on God's mercy, I think it's more rational to think that no one could ever do enough good deeds to overcome their bad deeds, but we all depend on God's mercy. Your thinking is if we commit some kind of bad deed, we're damned to hell. So according to your view, we might as well just kill ourselves because we'll be more safe.
It's funny. It always tends to get heated near the end. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with Wretched Radio, and appreciate that you're going to join us April 8th for our Easter invasion, aren't you? Wretches from around the country on April the 8th will grab copies of our newest resource, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, and then head off to public colleges and universities to give them away and share the gospel with the students there. Wretched.org/time is the place to go to get your copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. And then April 8th, you head off to your favorite public college or university and hand them out. Wretched.org/time to get your copies today. Wretched.org/time. Get a 10-pack, 20-pack, 100-pack if you like. And then join us April 8th for the Easter invasion, giving away copies of The Man Who Split Time and sharing the gospel. Wretched.org/time. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
What are you doing April 8th? I know you're getting as many copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You are going out to the streets to a university campus, joining many wretches to give away a gospel booklet that demonstrates Jesus is God, co-authored with this man, Phil Johnson. Say hi, Phil Johnson.
Hi, Phil Johnson.
He's better in writing. Get your copies of The Man Who Split Time and give it away to as many people as you can on April 8th.
So join us for the Easter invasion, April the 8th. To get your copies of Wretched's newest evangelical resource today, go to wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. And join your fellow wretches April the 8th at any public university or college campus for the Easter invasion. Let's invade these campuses and share the gospel by handing out The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copies today at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
Important dates in Christian history. 1735. The Great Awakening under Jonathan Edwards stirs the American colonies with many conversions and individual returns to heartfelt faith. Because of this awakening, a number of divinity schools were founded, including Princeton, Dartmouth, and Rutgers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, Ray.
Todd.
Hello.
Do you think we're going to get another Muslim?
Only if it's your providential day.
God is sovereign. Can I mention something about the last segment where I witnessed to a nice Muslim man who wouldn't touch Trisha's hand because she's unclean? And I said to him, how many lies have you told? And he said, I'm not married.
I don't know what that meant.
We found out what it was.
What?
It's easy, figured it. When I said to him, how many lies have you told? I said, how many wives have you got?
Oh, no. Hey, Trish.
Speaking of wives, Emilio's still talking to Azabi right now and witnessing to him and sharing and they're bantering back and forth.
Have they shaken hands yet, Trish?
They definitely have, but not me. And so I handed him $1 million bill.
Wait a second.
I made sure not to touch him, though.
Now, wait a second. I thought it was maybe just a pagan from the Islamic standpoint. He wouldn't shake your hand because you're a goyo?
No, definitely not. No, and the interesting thing is that other Muslims have shaken my hand before, but those are the nominal, maybe the nominal ones.
Those are the backsliders.
He wouldn't. He backed up, put his hands in the air, and goes, oh, no, no.
All right, Trish, who's there now?
Okay, so I found another young student. He was walking with his motorcycle helmet in his hand and his backpack over his shoulder, and, you know, he just looked like he had some time on his hands, so I went up, and he was totally willing to be on the radio. He goes, I just don't know if I'll be able to say enough for the whole 7 minutes. He's like, I don't even know what I believe. I mean, I think about death a lot, and I've contemplated it, but, you know, he doesn't know where he'd go. He doesn't have many thoughts, and he wasn't raised any certain religion. His dad was a Muslim, you know, lived in Morocco. He's part Moroccan. But anyway, so, yeah, he's willing to talk to you guys, and why he's at school here is he'd like to be a nurse. He's worked in hospitals before, and that type of stuff doesn't really scare him. So that's the direction he's heading.
You say nurse?
Leave it.
Okay. What's his name?
His Muhammad. Name is Adam. He's 20 years old.
He's not a Muslim.
No, he's not. He's not a Muslim, although he's had maybe a little bit of background in that. But all growing up, he didn't go to any churches at all. Really wasn't. I mean, he wasn't exposed to a lot of anything. He said maybe he'd been in a couple Christian churches with friends, but that basically really wasn't a priority. That's just something they didn't do as a family.
All right, let's give it a go with Adam, shall we?
Thank you, Adam. You're on the air.
I think he's going to be a nice kid, right?
I think he is. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. We are delighted to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being a good sport.
No problem.
Now, Adam, what are your thoughts about the purpose of life, firstly? Why are you here?
Why am I here?
Yeah, what's the purpose in the existence of mankind? Do you ever think about it?
To do good. I mean,
yeah, that's what
better,
you do.
To better humanity, I guess. I mean,
that's what you do while you're here. That's what you do while you're here. But why are we here? Why were we created?
I have no idea. I mean,
Isn't that funny?
Really thought about it much.
I know, it's funny. You can ask the most intelligent university student, okay, you got all the big words, why are we here? And he doesn't know. He doesn't know why he was created, why he's existing, and where he's going to, you know, in eternity. So it's so true when the Bible says we're lost, we certainly are when we don't know why we're here. So what happens after someone dies?
I really don't know. So many different religions think so many different things, and I wasn't brought up as a hardcore Christian. I didn't go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, so I didn't get the information, you know, Christianity-wise.
Were you a softcore Christian? I mean, hardcore?
I wasn't really anything. I mean, my dad was a Muslim growing up, and he didn't try to, you know, persuade me to be a Muslim. He stopped practicing Islam, you know, in his teenage years, and he moved to the U.S. And I mean, my family just never been real religious.
Adam, you're the same as I had. I went to church 3 times in 22 years, and I hated it. I thought it was boring. I believed in God, but I had no religious instruction whatsoever. Even though I used to pray at night, so I know where you're coming from. Do you think about death?
Do I think about what?
Death.
Death? Yeah, I do. I guess if you had to put me in a genre, I'd be an agnostic.
Yeah.
And being not being sure, you know, what I believe in, I think about, you know, death and what could happen to me and what's going to happen to me, you know, if
I
die.
You ride a motorcycle too, so that's 5 times more chance of getting killed.
Yeah, it's I'm walking on a tightrope. But
are you afraid of dying?
I wouldn't say afraid of dying, but I'm afraid to, you know, leave before I accomplish everything I set out to do before I on glass.
I tell you what, Adam, if you accomplished everything you want to do, you'd still feel exactly the same. You know, if you sat back
probably.
And said, I've done everything, I'm ready to go. No, you're not. Nobody in his right mind wants to die. And everybody fears death. It's just that some people are too proud to admit it. We've all got a will to live. Something in us says, I don't want to die. It's our basic instinct, really. Do you know why we die? Any idea?
Maybe to make room.
No, there's plenty of room, and you just have to fly over the U.S. to see there's plenty of room. I look out of a window of a plane, and you can go for hours and not see a town. Dying won't make too much room, because I'm only a little guy. Now, Todd, that's different. We die, Adam, because the Bible says we've violated a law. If you jump off a building, you suffer the consequences. If you break the law of gravity, you suffer the consequences. And the Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. So that's what the Bible explanation for death is. We've sinned against God. We've violated an eternal law, what's called the moral law, the Ten Commandments. And God says, the soul that sins, it shall die. Do you think you're a sinner?
I would be a sinner. I think everybody's a sinner.
Okay. How do you know if you're a sinner or not?
I'm not going to say I'm a bad person, but yeah, I mean,
are you a good person?
Am I a good person? I think I'm a good person.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can alter that in 3 minutes, okay? I'm going to see if I can change your mind about that, all right?
Okay.
You think I can do that?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. How many lies have you told in your life, Adam?
Oh, countless.
Okay. What do you call somebody who tells lies?
They would be a liar.
Have you ever stolen anything, even if it's small, irrespective of its value?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals things?
That'd be a thief.
Okay, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
That's blasphemy, and it's punishable by the death sentence in the Bible because it's so serious to use God's name as a cuss word. Now, Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman and lusts for her, that is, desires her sexually, has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Of course.
Okay, let's just have a little stop here, Adam, and see how you feel about this. Now, I'm not judging you, but listen to this. By your own admission, this is by your own mouth, you have admitted that you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And that's only 4 of the 10 commandments. Do you want some more?
Sure, if you want to go on.
Have you ever hated somebody?
I wouldn't say hate.
Okay.
I would say strongly dislike.
if you hate someone, the Bible says you're a murderer. Have you kept the 5th commandment, which says honor your father and mother?
Have I what?
If you kept the 5th commandment, it says, honor your father and mother.
Yes.
You're a self-admitted liar and a thief. That's not honoring to your parents. That's bringing dishonor to their good name. Okay, so you've broken that one. If you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength?
I would have to say no.
Yeah, because you've used his name as a cuss word, so that shows that you don't love the God that gave you life. So what the 10 commandments do is show us that we're sinners. They're like a mirror. If you see someone with a filthy face and they say, I'm clean, the best thing you can do is show them a mirror and they go, oh, I'm not clean. The mirror just reflects us in truth. And that's what the 10 commandments do. They're like a mirror. We think we're good until we look into that mirror and say, whoa, that's reflecting me as a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, an adulterer, violated the 10 commandments. So, Adam, if God judges you by the 10 commandments on the day of judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Oh, I'd definitely be guilty, but I think the 100% of the population would be also.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
If they judge it on that, then hell.
Okay. Does that concern you?
Honestly, I don't know if where I go. I mean, I haven't thought about it. You know, actually, I have thought about it a lot, but I just haven't, pinpointed exactly what I believe in fully. I mean,
well, now you know. Now you know. This is God's word, Adam. I wouldn't lie to you. The Bible says all liars love their part in the lake of fire. So obviously it must concern you because I've already established that you love life and don't want to die. Do you know what God did for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell?
What did he do?
Suffered and died on the cross. You broke God's law, the 10 commandments, and Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. That means God can legally dismiss your case. Jesus paid your fine. He said, it is finished. That were his last words on the cross. The debt has been paid. He suffered for you, Adam, so you wouldn't have to come under God's wrath. Then he rose from the dead and defeated death, and what you have to do in response is repent and trust in Jesus Christ. Those two things, the Bible makes it clear. If you repent and trust in Jesus Christ, God will dismiss your case, you can leave the courtroom, all your sins can be forgiven, God can allow you to live. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
So there's two,
I mean,
no buts. There can't be a but. This is your eternity. So there's two things you have to do to be saved from hell. Do you remember what they are?
Repent and believe in Jesus Christ.
Or trust in him. There's a difference between believing and trusting. Okay? So here's a quick summation. If you died today, God gave you justice, you have his promise, you'd end up in hell because he's seen your secret thought life, as well as all the things we've talked about.
Yeah.
Two things you have to do to be saved, repent and trust in Jesus. When are you going to do that?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, whenever...
Remember, you ride a motorbike. You could be dead by the end of the day. This is eternity. So today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get right with God and examine my motives. Adam, why would I talk to you like this? I don't get money from you. I'm not saying join a church. I love you enough to tell you the truth and to say, get right with God, because there's nothing more important than eternal salvation. Adam, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thank
you. And if you ride a motorbike or not, there's nothing more important than your eternal salvation. You just heard the gospel loud and clear. Well, we'll be taking another 3-minute break. Why don't you repent and put your trust in Jesus? This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkinis. If you haven't heard, New York City is now the epicenter of the coronavirus in the state of New York. New York City is doubling its coronavirus cases every 3 days. Almost half of the city's coronavirus patients are under 45, but the under 45 in New York City account for just 3% of the city's COVID-19 fatalities, according to new data. Men in New York appear to be disproportionately affected. They are making up 56% of the cases and 61% of the deaths. Biggest outbreaks are in Queens and in Brooklyn. Add New York to your prayer list. A small church in Cleburne County, Arkansas, another local epicenter of the COVID-19 outbreak. Nearly 3 dozen people connected to Greer's Ferry First Assembly of God have tested positive for the coronavirus, including their pastor, Mark Polinsky, and his wife, Dina. According to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, the other 80 members of the church are still waiting for their test results. Health officials blame a children's event the church hosted during the first week of March, before most social distancing measures had taken effect. Some attendees had recently traveled outside of the area, though it's unclear where. In a post on the church's Facebook page, the pastor said it took a while to get tested after he and others started showing symptoms, but church leaders canceled services even before those results came in. We also hear now the 71-year-old heir to the British throne, Prince Charles, has mild symptoms of COVID-19. He is self-isolating at a royal estate in Scotland. His wife, Camilla, has tested negative for the disease. Officials have informed everyone he has met with since March the 12th, including his mother, Queen Elizabeth. We've also learned leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention have canceled the denomination's annual meeting due to the spread of the virus. The decision was announced yesterday by Baptist Press. It means the meeting, which had been scheduled for June 9th and 10th in Orlando, Florida, will not happen and will not be rescheduled for a later time. Instead, the denomination will skip a year and meet again in 2021. The last time the SBC annual meeting was canceled was 1945 during World War II, when the United States government banned meetings of groups larger than 50 people. There is the glimmer of good news, China to end a Wuhan lockdown. People leaving Hubei province will still need to prove that they are healthy, but the city of Wuhan's 2-month quarantine will end on April the 8th, the Chinese government said Tuesday. Authorities on Wednesday relaxed traffic control measures across the province. The city of 11 million was shut down on January 23rd by officials. The rest of the province soon adopted similar measures. Of the 3,270 people who died in China from the disease caused by the coronavirus, more than 2,500 were in Wuhan. The province reported no new cases last week, but did confirm on Tuesday that a doctor at Hubei General Hospital did test positive for the virus. Prayer, common sense, social distancing, pretty much in that order. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkenis.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service. the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Trish, where are you?
Well, I'm at the Southlake Town Center, and don't mind me, Todd, I'm a little bit, what would you call this? Flustered? Yeah, that's the word.
Wow.
Because, you know, I've been rejected quite a bit, but these two nice young ladies with a cute baby, he's so cute, stopped, and I forget your name.
Tanya.
Tanya and Natalie, and I don't even know what you believe. I haven't even got to ask.
Okay, take the time that you need. We'll come back in 30 seconds.
Why
hey,
don't we
Todd, Todd real
drop?
Quick, you want to know something really neat?
Yeah.
This guy was standing on the corner out here at Southlake, and, you know, he just looked like he wasn't doing anything, so I walked right up to him and did my little spiel. He goes, I know who you are. I listen to you all the time.
Oh, funny.
And he's like, I cannot believe this. So now he's joined me in trying to recruit people out here. Kind of neat.
Oh, that's very sweet. All right, take 30 seconds. We'll come back. By the way, you know what, Ray?
He's our listener in Texas. I wonder if we ever meet him.
We did see a spike in the rating.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, now we'll eavesdrop.
Okay, Todd?
Oh, yeah, Trish?
I think I'm ready. I think Tanya's going to be the one.
Okay, so this is Tanya. What do we know about her in 30 seconds?
That's right. Yeah, what we know is basically that she was not raised in any church at all, but she kind of calls herself a Christian. She does not believe in hell. I asked her the question, who goes to hell? And she said, I don't believe in hell. Neither her or her sister believe in hell. I asked her, would you go to heaven? She goes, well, yeah, I'd go to heaven because she feels it in her heart. Mm-hmm. She believes that she'd go to heaven in her heart.
Yeah.
So all right. That's her. That's Tanya.
All right. Okay. Let's have a chat with her.
Hello. Tanya.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being a good sport and coming on this program.
Sure, no problem.
So you're a Christian?
Yes.
What's a Christian? Can you define a Christian?
I don't have an absolute definition for it. I think it's sometimes it's just a belief. It's what you feel in your heart.
Have you been born again?
Yes.
Okay, tell me what happened. Why did you get born again?
I think because I wasn't really raised in the church, and my parents always believed in letting us kind of find our own way. And just somewhere along the way, I kept feeling like there was always something pulling at me, and I didn't know what it was, and I realized that it was God.
And what happened? Did you realize you'd sinned against God?
Did I realize what?
That you'd sinned against God. I mean, why did you become a Christian?
I felt like there was something missing in my life, and I didn't really know what it was. And then when I realized what it was, that's whenever I started seeking the church. So, I mean, am I a sinner? I was like, I think we're all sinners. I don't think that there's any one person that's perfect.
Right.
So, but I don't think that because if you've committed a sin, that doesn't mean you can't be a Christian.
Tanya, do you believe in the existence of heaven and hell?
I believe in the existence of heaven, but I don't really believe in hell.
How come?
I think that it's God's right is the one who judges us, and whenever we pass on, I think that at that point in time, I just don't really think that him being as forgiving, and if you open your heart to him, I just think that you would be welcome into heaven.
So do you think Jesus spoke the truth when he spoke of a literal place called hell, and the Bible about 450 times makes reference to a place called hell, which is God's...
I do, but I sometimes feel that, you know, it's like, is it something that I can fathom? No, because it's not somewhere I believe that I'm going. And do I really want to believe that any other fellow man is going to go there? No, I really don't.
So you'll be sharing a bungalow with Adolf Hitler in heaven?
I was like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they get in, but I'm not saying that there's a hell either.
Well, you think if you were God and you witnessed Adolf Hitler being responsible for the murder of mothers with their little children in gas chambers, and then they used their skin for lampshades, and got their teeth and got the gold out of their teeth and resold the gold, do you think God should say, who cares? Or should he be angry at such a thing happening?
I think he should be angry, but I think that it's not my right to pass judgment. I mean,
Well, of course, you weren't there.
No,
you weren't there, so you can't pass judgment, but you've got to sit back and say, well, it's reasonable that God, who witnesses all things and he's holy, should pass judgment. It makes sense that there's a place called
Correct.
Hell if there's such a thing as evil. So, where do you think you're going, Tanya?
Where do I think I'm going?
Heaven or hell?
Well, I certainly hope I'm going to heaven.
Well, let's just a little check to see if you're good enough. You think you're a good person?
I do think I'm a good person.
You've kept the Ten Commandments?
I have tried to keep the Ten Commandments.
How many can you name?
Not many. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not, I'm thinking of it in my head.
Lie? Shall not be a false witness?
Thou shalt not be a false witness. I was, trying to remember.
Good one. What about stealing?
Thou shalt not steal.
Good one.
It's something against your parents. I can't remember.
Honor your father and mother.
Honor thy father and mother.
Good one. What about blasphemy? Take God's name in vain?
That's another.
Hey, you're doing good. Well, let's just look at some of those. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
Well, that's using God's name as a cuss word. It's called blasphemy. Very serious. Have you ever committed adultery?
No, I have not.
Well, Jesus said if you look with lust, sexual desire, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever done that?
Then I guess I have.
Have you ever killed anyone?
I have not.
Ever hated someone?
Hate's a really strong word. So
yeah. Have you ever hated someone?
Liked.
What's that?
I said I've disliked.
Okay. How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
How many lies in my life?
Yeah.
I did go through puberty and I was an adolescent, so quite a few, I'm sure.
So what do you call somebody who tells lies? What's the right name for them?
Well, I'm a liar.
Have you ever stolen anything in your life, even if it's small, irrespective of its value? Okay, let's have a little summation, Tanya. This is, I'm not judging you. This is by your own admission. You're a lying, thieving, adulteress person who's blasphemed God's name and you've dishonored your parents by being a lying thief. So listen to this. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
I still believe I'm going to heaven.
Why?
Because I think that... For the sins that I've committed, it's like I do believe that God does forgive, and like, and I think that if He judged everybody based on the Ten Commandments, I don't think that anybody would ever get into heaven.
Well, you're getting near the truth here. The Bible actually says that. It says there's not a righteous person on the face of the earth, that our hearts are deceitfully wicked. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yes,
and,
we have.
And Tanya, if you died in your sins and God gave you justice, listen to what the Bible says. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. We're told no thief, no adulterer, no blasphemer will inherit God's kingdom. So you're in big trouble if you die in your sins. Now, Tanya, do you know what God did for humanity so that we wouldn't have to go to hell? Have you got any idea? Because you're saying, I know what
yes,
you're saying. You're saying,
son.
What's that?
He gave his only son.
Okay. Now,
to pay for our sins.
If we weren't on our way to hell, then God gave his son in vain. So just the fact that there was a cross, a terrible cross that Jesus died on, gives us proof that God is angry at sinners. When Jesus was on the cross, he took the punishment for your sins and my sin, the sin of the world. We broke God's law, and Jesus paid our fine. That means God can legally dismiss our case because of the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead, defeated death, and you know, for God so loved the world, that Bible verse, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What you have to do, Tanya, in response is not, quote, give your heart to Jesus, not believe in Jesus, but you've got to repent. It's an old-fashioned word that means to turn from all sin. And the second thing, Tanya, you have to do to be saved is put your trust in Jesus. So there's two things, repentance and trust. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Todd, would you like to talk to Tanya?
Hey, Tanya, how do you do?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm curious. It sounds like you guys are kind of talking politely, but you're not really agreeing. Am I reading this right?
That I'm not agreeing with what?
Well, with what he's saying, that we're really bad people, that we deserve to go to hell, that we're not good at all, we need to be saved completely by Jesus. It sounds like you guys aren't quite clicking.
I guess we're not.
How come you don't think we're all bad?
How come I don't think that we're all bad?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't believe that people are all bad. Do I think that there are things that we do that are bad? Yes, but I don't go through my life thinking that every person is a horrible person.
Tanya, here's where it gets a little tricky then. The Bible says we're all horrible people. So now I've got to weigh this out. Either you're right or the Bible is right. Which one are you going to go with?
I'm not saying that I'm right, but how I feel, I don't think that I'm a horrible person. It's like, am I saying that the Bible's wrong? No. I mean, I'm not. It's like, I can't talk to who wrote it. And does God think that I'm bad? He probably does.
Okay. Well, see, that's probably more important than how we feel about ourselves, because a lot of criminals fool themselves, even guys who are in jail say that they still didn't do it. So it doesn't matter how we feel about ourselves. The question is, how does the judge feel about us? And so it's important to kind of put our feelings aside. What does the Bible say? It says we've all sinned and fallen short, and the just judge, if he judges me, he's going to find me to be a very bad person and judge me accordingly and send me to hell because he sees me as bad. And so then, Tanya, the thing that maybe you need to wrestle with today, if you think this is worthy of your time, is, okay, how does the judge see me? And if he sees me through the law of perfection, have I ever lusted? Have I ever lied, stolen, blasphemed his name, not been grateful, was naughty with my parents? Yikes, I don't need to feel it. I need to see how he sees me and agree with him. I'm bad, and get on the same page with the judge and apologize and put my faith in him because I trust what he says more than the way my heart feels. Because the Bible says our hearts are deceitful and wicked, and a way that seems right unto a man can lead to death. So, Tanya, all I can encourage you to do is consider, is the Bible true when it says that we're really wretched and we need a savior? Can I ask you to think about that today?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. Thanks a bunch for your time.
Oh, no problem.
This is Wretched Radio. Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind. But seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
Now, obeying the Great Commission is easier than ever. So far, you have given away over 800,000 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And we couldn't be more thrilled. But we are far from finished, my fellow evangelist. Not to be greedy or anything, but our goal is to give away 1 million copies of What Time is Purple. It's perfect for college students struggling to figure out what the truth is, or for atheists or agnostics you may know. So while you're visiting wretched.org/purple, order your copies and order as many copies as you promised to give away. And all you do is pay for the shipping. Together, we can reach 1 million students with the gospel. 1 million. If you're a ministry or a church group and you'd like to pass out a whole herd of What Time is Purple, is it a herd or would it be a gaggle? Anyway, we'd love to send you a bunch of copies. Just email Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, and he'll get you all sorted. Join us in obeying the Great Commission at wretched.org/purple.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Attributes of God. Psalm 139 tells us that God is omnipresent. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God is not only outside and above his creation, he is present in every place, seeing what is happening. This is a comfort for those who love him, but a terror to those who hate him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, Trish, who have you got there?
Megan, she's from Oregon State. She actually goes to Oregon State. Is it university? Is it? And she is majoring in sports medicine. She hopes to be the first National Hockey League women's athletic trainer. That's a mouthful. And she believes that everybody is going to heaven, right? Pretty much like all roads lead to heaven. That's our final destination. If you've been really bad, maybe you won't go there. And she believes that the Bible is a good guideline for your life, but it's written by men, so it might not be totally reliable.
Yeah.
And her name is Megan.
Yeah.
How old are you, Megan? She's 22 years old and working on her master's degree at Oregon State.
Righty, master's. I wonder if she actually trusts any of those books that she studies that were written by men about being an athletic trainer. I hope she doesn't, because that would be a terrible flaw to trust some books that were written by men.
Good point.
Okay.
Okay, here is, here you are, Megan. Okay, hello.
Megan, appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you very much. My
no
name is
Ray.
Tell me what you believe about the afterlife. Do you think there is one?
Yes, I do believe there is an afterlife.
What happens? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell?
I believe there's both. The way I believe, I consider myself non-denominational. I think that there's everything is kind of a universal religion, and all the different sects and types and, you know, everything is, it's all leading to atonement with one God. And so I think that there is one God that covers everyone. And just the religion that you choose is your path that you choose to get there. And assuming that you lead a good life, then you do go to heaven. And if you make poor choices and lead a poor life, then you go to hell and you're punished for what you do. But
wow. Hey, that's, what do you think about the words of Jesus and the exclusivity of Christianity?
I think Jesus was a great man. I think, you know, I do believe that he was real, and I think he had great ideas, and what he says is, you know, a great way for people to model their life after. But
I'm specifically thinking about his words where he said, I am the way, the truth, mm-hmm. and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then it's backed up everywhere you look in Scripture. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christianity is exclusive in saying that the only way to find peace with God is through the Savior. Do you think Jesus was wrong?
No, I don't think that Jesus is wrong. I think that he's a good person to model your life after, but those words in the Bible were written by somebody else that heard that. And I think that man can be fallible, and I think that that's where the problem is with me. Like, I do consider myself a Christian, and I do follow Jesus, and I have accepted him, and that's the path that I choose. But I don't think that people that have chosen other directions are wrong. Because
so, Megan, you're going to heaven?
I would like to think that I'm going to heaven. I think I live a good
life. How can you be sure? Because when you look at the Bible, you've got no assurance, because you're thinking someone else could have written them, and they're not trustworthy. So you've really got to throw out the Bible. If you throw out a bit of it, you've got to throw out the lot. It's like you're making a hole in an ocean liner. It's just a matter of time till it sinks. So either you can trust the Scriptures or you can't. I mean, how do you pick what you trust and what you don't? Get what I'm saying?
Right. No, I totally understand what you're saying. I just also think that it's very hard to believe that millions of other people can be wrong. I don't think it's fair to condemn people to hell just because they don't believe in Christianity.
Yeah, well, the Bible doesn't say that's what's going to happen, actually.
Right.
They won't go to hell. Because they don't believe in Christianity, they'll go to hell for rape and murder and
right.
and cannibalism and and stuff like that. That's what God judges. That's what his judgment's on sin, not upon what they don't believe.
Right.
Megan, you said if you're not a good person, you'll end up in hell. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's just give a little test. Because before I was a Christian, I thought I was a good person. You think you're a good person?
I would like to think so.
Okay, how many lies do you think you've told in your life?
In my life?
Yeah,
probably hundreds, thousands, possibly.
Wow. So what do you call someone who tells lies?
I call them a human being because I'm pretty sure that everybody lies at some point or another.
It rhymes with fire and begins with L.
A liar.
Yeah. Have you ever stolen something in your life? Even if it's small, irrespective of its value.
I'm sure that I have.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A stealer.
No, a thief.
Thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
I have.
Okay, that's called blasphemy. It's when you use God's name as a cuss word to express disgust, which is heinous, because God gave us life, And to do that to his name when we're told to give honor and to call his name holy is very sinful. Now, Jesus said, whoever looks with lust, that is sexual desire at another person, commits adultery in the heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust at any time in your whole life?
Yes.
Okay, Megan, I'm not judging you. This is by your own admission. But by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart. We've only looked at four of the Ten Commandments. Have you ever hated someone other than at this moment?
I don't hate people, no.
Oh, that's great. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, bearing in mind you've broken four of them, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I think I'd be just as guilty as anybody else on this planet.
That's right. Would you go to heaven or hell?
I think that besides some of the little things I've done, that if you look at the big picture, that's more what I would consider I'd be judged on.
You mean you've done some good things in your life?
I would like to think that I've done good things in my life, yes.
Okay, now give me your thoughts on this. Let me throw a thought to you and you get back on what you think. If I'm standing in front of a judge and I've committed very, very serious crimes, like rape and murder, I've raped a couple of teenage girls and then slit their throats.
Okay.
And then the judge says, you're guilty, and I say, yeah, I'm guilty, judge, but I want to tell you, judge, I have done some good things in my life. I gave money, and I've helped old ladies across the road, and I'm basically a good person. The judge is going to say, what are you talking about? Because in a court of law, good deeds have got nothing to do with our crimes. And you may think your crimes against God are trivial, and you may demean them by just saying they're little things, but deceitfulness is so serious to God. The Bible says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God killed a husband and wife in the book of Acts because they told one lie, and the scriptures warn all liars of their part in the lake of fire. We see nothing wrong with a bit of lust, and we say, who doesn't do that? Well, God doesn't do that. He considers adultery of the heart. His standards are infinitely higher than ours. He's perfect in holiness, the Bible says. So what you must do today is realize that if you died in your sins and you were judged by a perfect and holy creator, that you'd be guilty and end up in hell, as the scriptures say. Does that concern you?
I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and so I'm forgiven for my sins.
You know, there's nothing in the Bible about accepting Jesus. The Bible says there's something else you have to do, and let me give this to you and you get back to me. God was so concerned about you as a human being and so not wanting to punish you for your sins, he made provision through the Savior. And when Jesus is on the cross, he was paying the fine for the law that you and I violated. You broke the Ten Commandments. Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. That means God can legally dismiss your case. You can leave the courtroom because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Megan, what you have to do is not accept Jesus. You got to repent. That means turn from all sin and willfully put your trust in Jesus Christ. Don't just believe in Jesus, but trust him like you trust a parachute. You surrender to him and make him your Lord and Savior, or he becomes, should I say, your Lord and Savior. And there are multitudes that believe in Jesus but have never done that. And Jesus warned on the day of judgment, many would come to him and say, Lord, Lord, we did this, we did that. And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. I never knew you, and I don't want you to be in that company. Todd, would you like to talk to Megan?
Hello, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Do you think you guys believe the same thing?
Me and the man I just spoke with?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I do not.
Yeah. So where do you think you differ? What's the big issue?
I think we differ that I don't think Christianity is the only way.
Oh, okay. All right. So when the quote that he brought up, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, you just don't believe that.
It's not that I don't believe that. It's just that I don't see how there can possibly be only one way. And the person who says he said that is a man, is a mortal, and he wrote that down.
But you said,
and
what,
men are wrong all the time.
But Megan, you said you believe that.
Yeah.
What do you believe about that statement?
That? I mean, I was raised as a Christian. I believe that that is the way for Christians, but I don't think that the rest of the world can possibly be wrong.
Okay, so then what I heard you say is when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, nobody comes to the Father but through me, what he meant is, I am the way for Christians, but everybody else can do their own thing.
Yeah, I do believe that, because I just don't understand how there can possibly be that many different religions and there only be one way.
Okay, so basically then, you don't believe Jesus when he said, I am the way, the truth, the life.
I think
that would be more accurate, wouldn't it?
Right. I think he's a way. I don't think he's necessarily the way. The only way.
Okay. Hey, Megan, one last thing.
Okay.
Do you believe the things that are written in your textbooks?
Like in general?
Yeah. But you're studying to become an athletic trainer, you're going to follow the things that they say, how to take care of people, get muscle knots out, and fix up people's broken whatever, right?
Right. I take everything with a grain of salt, though, because
they were obviously written by men.
Right, which is why I also choose to hear lots of different ways and form my own opinion.
All right. I hope that works out in your I hope that works out in your career. Take care, Megan.
Thank you.
And until tomorrow, serve your king.